Hello.
Hello. Happy New Year.
Yeah, you too. So, Ingolf said we're meeting, but then he doesn't show up.
It's a bit of weird. I mean, I don't have anything new
Yeah.
anyway, so
Yeah. Yeah. We're gonna be starting on trying to get our stuff ready for Eureka.
oh,
Actually,
nice.
going to Eureka. But then we also have to figure out replacing the, what is it? Let me make sure I don't say it wrong. Ingress Nginx.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same for us. We will probably go to some kind of implementation of Gateway API.
Yeah.
And I think that has to be done until March. Well, the support lasts until March. Usually it's not super critical that it is migrated until then, but it's not a good idea to run it any longer.
Yeah, we're gonna try to figure that out before Eureka, I mean, so we don't
Yeah,
like
otherwise you
conflate
have
any
double the
issues.
work. Potentially with the new stuff.
But here, let me, I'll share my, maybe I don't know. Yeah, I'll share. So, with Eureka, for installing Kong, they say use the Bitnami chart version 12.0.11. And so, of course, there's nothing here in, maybe I bump up the text. There's nothing here in traffic exposure parameters for Gateway. I was looking at this yesterday because I'm going to be working on trying to figure this out. So I guess what we'll end up doing is up here, they explain about deploying extra resources. So probably have to do extra deploy and then have an array of different objects. And our ops person put together, we're gonna try Envoy. So our ops person put together this thing. So I'll have to, I don't know, try to figure out some of these. I'm not sure I need all of these for, I think some of this is for creating the reverse proxy, but yeah, but like inserting the configurations for the different Envoy gateway stuff into this extra deploy. And then I guess I just do ingress enabled false here. No,
Yeah, interesting.
it's funny that the default is false. Well, anyways, so this is
I mean
the,
it makes sense that you don't accidentally expose something you've not like fully set up, I guess. I
yeah.
think I've seen that a few times that the ingress by default is actually not enabled. And usually you need to change some kind of values because of your ingress class. Usually you should explicitly set that. So it makes sense to me that it is disabled. And it also makes sense to me, so I think we have used the inbuilt ingress with quite some services, but for all of those, you basically need to disable the ingress, I guess, if you want to switch to Gateway API. That's in actually interesting. I've not thought about that you obviously don't even have ingress at all anymore, and then some Helm charts provide like inbuilt ingress functionality. And then you have to figure out yourself, okay, what kind of template would the Helm chart create if I enable the ingress? Is there some special setup here which I need to translate to the gateway API?
Yeah, and even the latest version of the chart still has ingress stuff. So, because I guess gateway is not, I don't know, it's still new or something. So we'll have to wait for a bunch of Helm charts to
I
update.
mean, that also makes sense. I think the Nginx ingress is the only one which is like, I think it's been like in maintenance mode for quite some time already, so I don't think this is like actively developed, but there are other like ingress controllers which I don't think will be superseded quite so fast, but it doesn't make sense like to change from ingress engine X to some other ingress thing. Specifically, the gateway API stuff makes some of our IP whitelisting way better. So you can have like HTTP root rules. I'm not sure if you've looked into that. That at least in our case of for our specific setup with our firewall, that makes it actually way easier. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this is the example that our ops person put together.
Okay, but
So,
this is Envoy specific.
yeah.
We have not decided what we want for Gateway API because there are other providers. I mean, Envoy is
Yeah,
one of the biggest one.
they looked at traffic here and some of their information. I don't know. I think we're going to go with Envoy because some reasons about plugins, maybe traffic middleware, and then something about $25,000 a year.
Okay, interesting. I mean, I think Envoy is also like one of the most used, which is usually a good thing to use, like some kind of standard. I'm actually not sure. One of my newer colleagues, for us, two people started in October, and one of them actually has quite extensive like Kubernetes experience at like private companies, which is pretty lucky for us because he has already opinions on what to use them because I don't really care. But if he has like reasons to use one of those, it's probably a good idea.
Yeah, that's good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, this shared pipeline, shared library. Stop highlighting everything. For Folio Kong, I don't know. I was just looking at it to see if they had changed anything for ingress, but they did not. What's kind of annoying is that, they want the Helm chart to 0.11. But when you look at the chart versions and what app version they support. So Kong, like Folio Kong, is at 3.9.0. But the Folio community is pinning their Helm chart to app version 3.6.
Interesting.
So I don't
Okay,
know
but
if,
this is
like,
all still Kong, right? So ho
yeah, I
hopefully
mean,
this will be like superseded quite soon, but yeah, that seems
yeah, true,
weird.
right? Like they'll, switch to API 6 or
Ah,
whatever
yeah,
it's
exactly. I
called,
think
and
that's pretty
then,
much set now that it will be API 6.
and then it's kind of wonder, like, are they, is the Folio community going to use, hopefully they use this one, maybe? I don't know.
API 7 for API 6, that
Oh
seems wrong
no.
somehow. The
So
namings
there's the
of stuff.
Bitnami chart that, of course, are always going to be like, use our secure images. So I was just looking, is it doesn't look like there's one for I mean, I guess this is it. This is the one that's the non-Bitnami one that is updated most
Yeah.
recently.
Makes sense to me. API 7.
I guess you wouldn't want
Dot
the,
AI.
yeah, like who are they?
One more dot AI product.
Unless maybe, I don't know. Well, it's under the Apache
Yeah.
org, so I guess
Oh,
that's
okay.
really the one you'd want.
So
It just
that makes
kind
sense.
of looks, it doesn't, it looks weird because it, I guess this is the owner, but.
Yeah.
Hello.
Oh,
Hello.
hi. We're just looking at Helm charts. I'll stop sharing my screen.
No,
That
no,
makes
it's Hi, Happy New Year.
Oh, yeah.
yeah.
Happy New Year.
Sorry, I'm late.
It's okay.
Maybe I set a helm chart.
I was still in the break outside, actually, so
Yeah,
didn't look at the
that's.
time.
I mean, we are only three anyway. We don't need to fill the whole hour if we don't
No.
want to.
Yeah. So I was just telling Florian that we're gonna start on Eureka stuff, but before we do that, we're gonna try to figure out using Gateway Kubernetes object instead of an ingress and get that sorted out because of the Ingress Nginx retirement that's at the end of March. So we want to make sure we could get that up and running correctly before going to Eureka, you know.
Ingress Nginx is deprecated and I don't think it will be supported more than March.
Yeah.
And Gateway API, just to get Ingolf up to speed, Gateway API is basically a newer Kubernetes style of managing ingresses to the cluster. That's actually more flexible, has more IP whitelisting features, which I like. I'm not sure. I've not looked too deep into this apart from that.
What is Gateway API? Shelly told me some other thing. What was
So
it?
Gateway API is the Kubernetes side new structure. So it's like a new type of resource, like pod service and ingress. So it supersedes ingress. You won't be using ingresses. You will have like a gateway object, which points to a service you want to expose to the public. Yeah.
It's a Kubernetes thing, gateway.
Yes. So
Yeah,
Gateway
and you?
API so Shelly is talking about the Kubernetes side of things. We obviously also have like a gateway API. A gateway, which is currently still Kong, but will be API 6 for Folio. But those are two separate things. So the API 6 is the thing that replaces Okapi and is like for internal service routing and stuff like this. But you also, if you want to expose this to
Oh.
the outside, to like some clients which are not like have no access to the Kubernetes cluster, which is, I mean, probably everyone who wants to run a service, then you need to have something like this. So this is
Yeah.
a replacement for Ingress, and the gateway Kong is a replacement for Okapi.
Yeah.
It's a
Yeah.
bit confusing because of the same kind of naming. And you
Right.
can also use similar like processes in the end. So API 6, for example, I think also provides a gateway API Kubernetes thing, but I have not looked into this, which
No,
is interesting. So maybe,
I know. No, Shelly wanted to replace Nginx, Kubernetes Nginx, but that was you had some other name. I forgot.
Yeah, here,
This
I'll show
is...
you Envoy.
Yeah. Envoy, yeah,
There's
genau. And you're
craft.
not doing that now? I
No,
mean,
we
that's the
are.
implementation, basically.
This is to replace the Ingress Nginx reverse proxy, which also means not using the Kubernetes Ingress.
And the example there actually in play, explains how Envoy works with Gateway. So Envoy is basically a gateway class, if I see that correctly. So Gateway class is like a gateway networking K8s IO resource. So this is comes from the Kubernetes, and Envoy is like one of those.
Yeah.
It's the same with Ingress. In Ingress Nginx, you
Complicated.
can have under other ingresses, for example, traffic. I think, don't you use traffic? Ingolf,
Okay.
do you know what kind
Gateway.
of?
Yeah, traffic. I'm using
Yeah.
traffic, you know.
Yeah, then you will have the, I don't think you should worry too much about this, because multiple people will have experience until you need to replace traffic with Gateway API, maybe sometime down the line. I think traffic will not be ending support in March, as far as I know, but I'm not too deep into that.
Okay, Gateway instead of Ingress, Envoy
Yeah.
instead of
Ingress
Nginx,
Nginx.
Oops.
and API 6 instead of Okapi if you
Right.
want,
So
if you ever
like,
have
oh.
installed Kong.
Yeah, so I was looking, so you know, in this familiar web page of setting up Eureka, they say use the Helm chart for Kong version 12.0.1. And so I go here and you know, if you select version 12.0.11. And so I was doing this yesterday because I'm gonna try to figure out how to set up a gateway. And of course, the Helm chart doesn't have under the traffic exposure parameters, there's nothing for gateway. It's just ingress, you know. So I'll have to, I guess, you know, do ingress enabled false. And then there's a way to create extra resources with the chart using extra deploy. So here we'll have to, you know, instead of Kong plugin, it'll be gateway, you know. So gateway class, gateway, HTTP route, and maybe this, I don't know.
Yeah, gateway classes may be something separate, which needs to be installed with Envoy, but yeah,
Yeah.
I'm interested into seeing what you figure out here, because we will need to do something similar. I'm not sure if we will end up using Envoy. Not
Yeah.
sure.
And that's just for, this is just for Kong, you know? So, like, you know, we have ingresses for platform complete and some of the edge modules.
And then maybe some infrastructure services. At least in our case, this will be the
Yeah.
case.
Yeah. But then we're start when you join, we're starting to look at API 6 to see. I was just curious if it had an easy way to do gateway. And we started looking at this one, this Helm chart, because it's owned by Apache instead of Bitnami. So, you know, it won't have using their secure images hard coded in it, supposedly. So I don't know if API 6 here just they have something for gateway. Oh, here, API 6 admin ingress, but yeah, gateway is new, so all these Helm charts aren't updated yet, I guess.
So my hope is that this will be relatively painless, but it has to be tested really well. So I don't think the gateway like manifests will be very complicated, I hope. but I'm not sure. We have some specific things for our ingresses for some of them, and then we need to see if we need to translate some of the tr annotations into something gateway specific, or maybe it's already built in and stuff like this. It's it will take some time.
I don't know. Maybe I should probably read this to just orient about it.
Yeah, at least for Ingress Engine X, there's also from the Gateway API 6, I'm migrating from Ingress Engine X site, and there seems to be like a tool called Ingress to Gateway, which maybe just translates the resources. I have not looked too deep into this. I will post the link in the chat.
Is it this one?
Yeah, so this is might be worth looking over. Maybe that makes the transition easier.
I'll take a look at that.
Do I have to do this?
No,
Yeah,
no,
why
no.
can't I just use Ingress?
So for Ingress Engine X, this will be simply deprecated. But
Ingress
since you are not
traffic.
using Ingress Engine X, I would not worry about this at all. I think at the moment, just wait until people have actually tried. So we will try Gateway API in the next like 3 or 4 months, and Shelly will try it even sooner. And then, if that is easy, then you can benefit from our experience, I guess. But yeah, I wouldn't worry about this.
And Envoy is only with Gateway, or why?
No, Envoy is, I think, older. I'm actually not sure. So Envoy is relatively heavy. There's quite
Why
a lot
not
of
do
stuff you
Envoy with
can do with
Ingress?
that. I think isn't the what's the actual name of Envoy? Service Mesh? No, that's.
I don't know.
No, that's Istio. I'm thinking
I
about
have no
Istio one.
idea.
Yeah.
Of course, if you search Envoy, you get a bunch of things. Is it Envoy Proxy? No.
Envoy proxy. I think that looks right. Envoy gateway.
What is Envoy? I don't know. Envoy Gateway, maybe that's it.
No.
Manage your application and API traffic with Envoy Gateway. Yeah, I don't know. All I know is we're
Oh,
probably going to
I'm
move to
getting a call.
this. I am not the one who sets up this part of our stack, so
Oh, you did all
but
the reviews, Shelley. I see. I get your messages from your repo.
oh yeah, I saw that. You commented. Yeah,
But
I don't know
yeah.
how I don't know how there must be a way you could unsubscribe if you don't want
No,
to
it's not
see.
a problem. It's very interesting. You
Okay.
the one big commit 206 changes you for your RAMSIMS upgrade. And I looked a bit into this, how you're doing that.
Yeah, that was a lot of those changes were because we're using the more updated version of the Folio Helm v2 charts, whereas previously we had an older version of those, an older forked version of those that didn't have any of the Eureka stuff in it. So like, you know, they made a bunch of changes to those charts so that you have to say like Eureka is not enabled. You know, so yeah, and then they changed all the like Java options key to be extra Java ops, and so yep, we upgraded our production to RAMSIMS, and it was fairly smooth. Not really
Cool.
any issues. We ran into some memory constraints in our production cluster because we just don't have, because the resource limits and the namespace and our production cluster wasn't needed to be bumped up. So on Monday, people at the library were reporting that they weren't able to import records from OCLC. And when we looked, we saw that M mod Z3750 wasn't running in the cluster. Even though we had installed it and enabled it. I don't know what happened there. I have no idea, like, why it was running in order for us to upgrade it, but then it wasn't running anymore.
Back.
Maybe we had uninstalled and reinstalled a bunch of stuff, and then when we did that, it just didn't come up because we ran out of resource limits. But we got that fixed, you know. It was kind of funny. It was like, oh yeah, it's not working because the module's not even running. Yeah. And then people are still getting used to the like getting logged out after 10 minutes of inactivity. With the RTR, we just have it set to the default, which I don't know. I mean, if you walk away from your work and you haven't saved it and you've walked away in 10 minutes, it's like, so you lost 10 minutes of work. Would you rather lose an hour of work? You know? So, yep. So we're on Ramson's
Yeah,
CSV
but
8.
it's but I get a good insight how you have done this because our production systems are still on on Docker, not no Kubernetes. So and I don't have this in the any repos, so I have to do everything over and over again for each server. So and since you are doing this all in a repo, I guess you just have to roll out or check out this. And for the Kubernetes part, I do that this too, of course. I have a repository,
Yeah, our
Git
process is
repository.
still pretty manual.
No.
We're not implementing GitOps quite yet. So, you know, we have the repo and then we run like Helm install from our laptops. You know, we check out the branch that you know, Ramson's or main branch, and then install stuff from our laptop. I'm also trying to get the rest of the people on my team more, what's the word? I don't know, influence. I'm trying to influence them that using GitOps principles would be better than. Depending on your local shell. My colleague uses a lot of aliases and has a lot of like different shell setups for different environments. And you know, sometimes accidents happen and oh, there goes production. We have Argo CD, which is something that helps that would automatically install and sync what is in the cluster with what you know say should be in the cluster. And the way we have our stuff set up is kind of it's going to take a lot of work, I think, to get what I have to do is like write some script that will create a bunch of Argo applications, which is a type of object, like Kubernetes object, like we were seeing gateway, right? So create a bunch of applications that use a particular Git repo and files in that repo as source for the values files for the Helm charts. So that we could actually, because like right now we don't have anything versioned. It's, I mean, yeah, we have this repo that has, you know, what we put in our values files, but it's actually not like whatever's deployed is like whatever was, I don't know, was in the repo at the time that you deployed it. It's not really versioned. It's bad. It's totally hokey.
Yeah,
I
it's
don't like
like two
it.
steps. It's two steps, Helm deploy and Git check in. And if you get out of sync because multiple people work on it, or you just forget to check something in, that's really bad. It's the same for us. My colleagues actually, I think, have started today to like set up Argo for one of our development testing clusters. And trying out at least, okay, can we deploy something via Argo? We also need like a development folio instance where we have like some automated way of for external developers to. So we have one Bavarian specific application that needs to be integrated into Folio, and that's actually a backend and a front-end module, but it's like very specific to Bavaria, not even Germany, Bavaria. So we have delegated to that to, oh, I say we, I'm not involved directly in this, but the Verbundsitas or the BVB people have delegated that to like external developer. And now for Sunflower, we have the problem that we don't have like the development vagrant stuff anymore. And we need some way where the developer has actually like some kind of environment where he can relatively easily develop his application for Sunflower. And for that, I think that will be the first candidate for to maybe try to set up an Argo installation of Folio. But yeah, will be interesting in the next few weeks. We will have like more concrete plans on that, I think.
So you have a developer working on a module?
Yes. And those are not like they won't ever be official modules. So we also have like some developers who to for example work on RFID stuff, which Bavarians need, but those could be interesting for like Germany or even all of Folio. I think the developer who made that I actually already like did a presentation on that on the product council or something like this. So this might in the end get
Oh, I
back
think
to
I heard
like an
something about
official
this.
Folio.
I think I heard something about this presentation. RFID something.
So it's like just some kind of integration for RFID readers, and I think I'm not. Is this already in use in production in our class? But we definitely have like several testing systems where they actually like can relatively easily connect their RFID readers or the physical hardware to their Folio instance, and I think that makes their work way easier. So this would maybe make sense as an official Folio module. But obviously the problem there is like how can we like guarantee maintenance of that? I think it was relatively, so I think this is relatively simple, has not too many dependencies, and will be used in the future by us anyway. So I guess that is realistic, but luckily I don't have to decide anything on that.
Yeah, I could show you what I've done with Argo CD if you're interested.
Yeah, sure.
Or can we
But
look at your changes for the Ramses upgrade together before you show that?
if you want.
So I actually looked at this. I wasn't 200 changes, and I thought, well, I have to look at this. So what do you have a Docker file? What does it do?
What
And
does that
question.
Docker file do?
Your Docker file.
That looked like
That Docker file,
copy URL.
I don't remember what that
Or
Docker
do you
file
want me
was.
not to show this? This is a public
No, it's fine.
this is everyone can look at this in
Yeah,
the
that's
recording.
okay. There's no
Okay.
there's nothing in there that is
Okay.
secret.
Yeah,
I'm
in public
sure. Then.
IPs and stuff like
I
this.
think I want to say that Docker file is for the we deploy the Folio Kubernetes, we deploy a pod. And I think that Docker file is part of creating that pod. Is that right? Yeah. I think so. Yeah, so we in this repo there's folio-k8-pod.yaml, and that just creates a pod in our cluster that pulls it, that gets the image of it is in this repo here. And we just when we do upgrades, we run most of the like curl commands to enable modules. We run that from within the pod.
This is a whole file.
Yeah.
Wow. This does a lot.
Yeah, and yeah, that we got the Bootstrap super user script that we still use. Yeah, that's
Okay,
so
this
that
does some
Docker file is
copies.
just. I
No,
can't
I'm just
remember
trying to
why we have.
understand how you set this up with your automation and in Kubernetes, you know.
I think
Docker
I don't
files.
I want to say Josh set this up. So let me see. There's that's right. So if you look at there's a GitHub action that whenever you push to this repo, it builds this package and it uses this Docker file. Does that make sense? So then when we do kube control apply and create the Folio Kubernetes pod in our cluster, it pulls the image from GitHub that has all these utilities in it, like curl, JQ, bash, and it has all these environment variables set for us. Looks like he lost his internet connection. Yeah. Do you guys do upgrades from within? I mean, I guess you would, right? The reason we do it is because we remove the ingress to a copy while we upgrade. So we have to like be able to do a copy stuff without an ingress.
We have or copy CLI is it's called. So Florian, even before I started, so long 5 years ago, I think, wrote his own Python API client thing. And we have like a container using that, but we can also like in on our client machines install that. We don't remove the Okapi ingress, but the jobs all use the containers using Okapi CLI and do that like from Kubernetes jobs. So there we don't
Oh,
have like
interesting. So when you install a new version of a module, it has a job that runs after it to enable it.
Yes. Yeah. So I think the people in northern Germany, Leipzig, I'm actually not sure which like German, whatever, they started to develop this before we even had Kubernetes set up, and then they provided that to us, and we simply stuck to that. So we have some Bash-based script. Initially, I think those are superseded with Okapi CLI now in all cases. That's way easier to handle. But in the very beginning, we even had only curl stuff, like a 1,000-line curl script that did all of the setup. And then,
Well,
and we had like init jobs that I think those might actually still be curl because that's fine. No, I'm actually not sure. I think we had changed that as well because those are way easier to simply register modules with Okapi. Make sure that they are registered correctly. We have like I think the job deregisters them and then registers them for like discovery and that they know where the services are and get the module
Okay. But
descriptors.
then the actual like install this module, that's done, that has to be done after everything is up.
And that's something we do quite often as well because we have dozens of tenants across multiple Folio instances. So this is also a very well used and tested script. It's just an upgrade, a Helm upgrade job. So every time we change something in our tenant value, so we have a Helm chart we wrote ourselves to set up tenants, and that basically creates like an admin account for us, an ad admin account for the users. Registers all the modules, makes sure all the module descriptors are there, gives the permissions to the admin accounts, and so the central part is like do the Okapi install thing with the correct list of modules. So in
Interesting.
our tenant values file, we basically have like it's a YAML list of all the modules with versions, and this gets translated with in the script or in the job to the JSON that you need to post to Okapi.
Nice.
This is
Wow.
all public, but maybe not too easy to understand. I think that might actually be before you joined these meetings. We presented them in this. SysOps thing here as well, like years ago now.
I think you've shared your GitLab repo.
But this is also something I could show again at some point if it's interesting. I don't think it makes too much sense before Eureka, because with Eureka, all of this changes. So we will,
You're
we
not
are
gonna
not
have an
comp.
Okapi
Yes, exactly. So we
CLI.
need to translate that anyway, and then it's still not decided if we keep the structure. So for us, the next step is Sunflower or Carpi. And after that, probably in like 2 or 3 months, we will start, or maybe we start looking at Eureka sooner than that. But I don't think like we will be as fast as you with Eureka.
We're trying to get to Eureka for in March, so
Exactly. So maybe we will start with that, but otherwise we will benefit from your experience, I guess. If you are willing to share at least. If not, if it's like all secrets,
Oh
then not.
no,
Yeah.
it's
Yeah.
so I got to try to get us into Argo using
Yeah.
Argo CD.
And that, so this will be really interesting. So for us, we will probably also not translate like our current very manual Helm install and upgrade setup to Argo, because we won't be that fast. We will maybe test some stuff with the Argo applications and stuff like this, but we will probably also do that at once with the Eureka changes. We need to change stuff for Eureka anyway, and then we can also like change how we set that up. It will be really interesting how to migrate existing tenants because we have quite a few. We need to like really think about how to not break anything in that process, but yeah, this will probably just require quite a lot of testing.
Just don't use the mod users keycloak has a no. Mod roles keycloak has a an API endpoint for mapping the permissions to capabilities, and it's doesn't work very well at all, so don't use it. Use
So this is
the
something.
Folio user permissions mapper Python tool that does everything that you want it, especially if you have a lot of hierarchical permission sets.
So this is hopefully something I don't need to look at myself, but it's a good thing that you mentioned this because the PvP people definitely need to look. So luckily we could like avoid most of the permission specific things apart from troubleshooting. Sometimes they need us for troubleshooting and we have like some rudimentary understanding on how like specific folio like permission sets and stuff like this works. But usually we just use admin accounts and very specific like system users with a very limited set of permissions. So we will probably use those mappers for the those very simple users, and then there will be a I mean, there's probably a way in Eureka to just simply get everything, right? For admin accounts. Exactly. So, but it's a where is this Python Eureka mapper script?
It's in the Folio org. Hold on a minute. Let me find user.
Is it in the wiki linked somewhere with the, for the setup? Or
It's actually not. The way,
I think I found it. Is it?
I should add something.
Is
Here, I'll put it in the chat.
it
It's
just called
definitely.
Folio User Permission Mapper Top Level in Folio Org? Is that right?
That's it.
I'm seeing your chat messages message now. Yeah. Okay, perfect. And that works.
Yeah, that one,
Okay.
it's the tool you have to. Each of the commands you kind of have to do in order because some of them they generate data that rely on like the next thing, like generate migration report. You have to run the Eureka migration first in order to run the generate migration report. It was
Interesting.
A little annoying because I didn't read through the whole README and there's environment variables. It automatically saves the files it creates to AWS S3. So you have to
Interesting.
like say, don't use S3.
Or use S3 you host yourself or whatever.
Like use storage. Local folder. It's at the bottom of the README for the environment variable.
You can store it just locally, which I think in your and our case is more sensible than using S3.
I don't know why it's like, oh, save these reports to S3. I don't get it.
I mean, if
Whatever.
you run the user permission mapper in AWS, maybe that's just the easiest way to get like persistent output.
I
No,
guess.
no idea. So I've never used AWS, but I think that's the idea probably. They probably have containers doing this stuff, and then there is a Docker file, so they have like
I
poetry.
didn't think of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
They probably do.
And then if they run this as some kind of job that collects stuff, then it has no persistence if you don't write it to something, and then But it's a good thing that they included the local output because that for us it doesn't make sense. I mean, we run our own S3 anyway. We could probably set this up, but why bother? storage local folder. Yeah, you can just set that up. Default value dot slash dot temp. Okay, so there is actually like a default output, but it's in like some
It's
kind
not
of hidden
enabled.
folder. Interesting.
Yeah.
What's Python poetry?
Poetry is actually it's kind of like pip, but
Ah, okay.
you run it. I say that it. Do you know gem sets from Ruby?
No.
Okay.
Sadly, I don't.
It's just
Ruby,
like
yeah.
compartmentalizing the environment that you're running your code in. It's like
Okay,
you're
that.
ensuring that like all the dependency versions are the ones that that should be running when you run
Makes
the
sense. So
code.
it's just something newer that has more possibilities than pip. I mean, I think for all of our Python dependency stuff, we simply use virtual environments. And I think sometime a few weeks ago, I ran into the issue with Ansible, which is a Python thing, and we have virtual environments for that. But there are actually some, like, not sure if it's plugins or community modules or whatever, which are not in the virtual environment. And my local setup was different than the setups of my colleagues, even though we used the same Python virtual environment. So awful, absolutely awful. There was
Yeah,
like,
virtual
this is like,
environments. Yep.
why does it work like this? Yeah, so poetry, I think I understand it. Maybe I shouldn't read up on that. Maybe we
Yeah.
should use something like this as well.
Yeah, it's fairly easy to install. You activate a virtual environment for a specific Python version. So I've gotten into trouble where I've activated the wrong Python. I activated a Poetry virtual environment using the wrong Python version, and then I have to go through all these steps of like removing my virtual environment and messing with my path and then starting over again. It just never could get away with away from the perpetual problem of, making sure you have the right versions of everything running.
But I was so annoyed that, okay, we have virtual environments, we have different versions of Python, we have set this up correctly as far as we knew, and then for some reason there are like local dependencies that are not in there, which are Ansible specific. So I think this is like some very specific. I'm not sure if you're using Ansible for anything. Yeah, okay then. But it's like, it's completely Python based, so all the stuff you automate with Ansible is like just like some kind of so you have a list of hosts where you can apply stuff in inventory, and you have like roles and jobs you run. And we have virtual environments for that, and then it still doesn't work because it's not completely self-contained. Really annoying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And in this case, so for this tool thing, there's like a poetry lock, which also makes sense. So poetry has like a log file with very specific versions of dependencies, including the hashes. Then you have definitely the same thing if you don't intend to change anything and have that tested. It's actually amazing how big this log file is. What the fuck? There's 2,000 lines. Okay, maybe I'm not looking at that. It's too complicated.
Yeah, you don't really need to pay attention to the lock file. It's auto-generated.
It's auto-generated. I mean, in some cases, it makes sense to look for specific things in the log files, but it's a good thing that it's there. So if you have like a poetry, so in this case, the Docker file sets are poetry and with a specific log file, and then if you build it yourself, you get the exact same result, I guess, which is always nice.
Yeah. When I didn't install it using on their README, the installation options, I didn't do pip install wheel file. I just did I git cloned it and then did poetry install. And it'll just create the environment.
I mean,
Yeah, and
that looks
Poetry
better.
Shell actually doesn't work. activate the virtual environment. You don't need to do that. You could just do poet whenever you run the program, just put poetry run in front. So poetry run, folio permission, migration CLI, for example. So.
That actually is documented quite well under usage. Yeah. Okay, perfect. Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, we will have to look at that, but before that, we have to like go through the steps with setting up Eureka. Like I said, not sure when we will do that. We will first set up Sunflower with Okapi, and then somewhere down the line in the next few months, we definitely will start, but no idea how long we will take for the different steps.
Okay,
When
what
will we
can I
meet again?
say?
Because I think the Argo stuff would be really interesting, at least for me, maybe in 2 weeks or whatever's the current
Stuff. I don't know. Yeah, in
yeah,
2 weeks.
Shelly wanted to show her Argo
Ach so,
setup,
ja, stimmt ja.
which is
Okay.
at least for us really interesting. Maybe not so much for you. Depends on who else
Ja.
will join.
No, if Shelly wants to demonstrate this, sure, I'd like to
Yeah.
join. It's interesting.
Okay.
I have pulled up two Okapi instances in my system, in my company for to Sunflower at the end of December to Sunflower CSP3, and now it's already Sunflower CSP4 for the Okapi version, Sunflower on Okapi. And this has worked quite well. I had some first problems with mod users BL. It went down, but I think that there's a new variable because
Oh,
we
okay.
Eureka permissions login, and you have to set it to false. Otherwise, it looks in mod roles keylog instead of mod permissions. So this was
Ah,
but
interesting.
but it's in the notes, in the release notes.
Okay, I think we probably
So
have that set up correctly, otherwise our user's BL would be
yeah,
crashing, I
they would
guess.
yeah.
Yeah, okay. Then
It
we
worked only
have
on the
done that.
second time.
Yeah.
And then it went down and you have to start it again. But I'm doing
You
the second
probably
instance now and it's pretty works pretty well, straightforward. There are three batch jobs, three index authorities, three index locations, and three index inventory, which is of course the biggest. It's a lot of work, but it's straightforward. So this is
So
what I'm
this is
doing.
all mod search, right? The
Yeah,
re-indexing. Yeah.
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Elasticsearch or Open Search.
Because we have only like new installations of Sunflower currently. So we have some test installations in our Kubernetes environment, and obviously there we didn't do like upgrades yet. But that's something I will do quite soon. But you didn't. You obviously the re-indexing stuff is needed. That makes sense. But otherwise, yeah, I will try
Well, we
that.
could talk about it. There are some subtleties about the platform. For example,
Yeah.
for CSP3 to CSP4, they have kicked out two modules and I asked why. And I think one of those modules is pretty useful, which is modmark migrations for consortia, for us. If you have consortia, we will exchange the data in Mark 21. It can only be tracked Mark 21. So the so-called source of truth will be in source record storage, but the bibliothecaries, the librarians will work with the inventory data. So there needs to be a mapping Mark 21 to inventory. And if this mapping changes, or if, for example, folio inventory changes, you have to remap. It's called a remapping, Mark 21 remapping. This is what mod mark migrations does. Mod mark migrations is new in Sunflower. I think we need it, at least the German consortia. But it's
Then
not
it's not
supported.
in the
It's not
Okapi.
supported. It's not in the official Sunflower because the TC rejected it, or at least they didn't accept it. It's very subtle.
Ah,
The
so it's
team
not even in
withdrew it.
Eureka or what?
The team
Okay.
withdrew it, and then they never committed it again. So it's practically it's rejected, you know.
Ah, okay.
So
It's
they don't have it in the platform. It was in the platform, but they took it out and I reactivated it anyway.
Yeah, you
So
can obviously. So if there's like a container for that and a module descriptor, you can just install it, I
but it's
guess.
on, and you're on, as they say, it's at your own risk, you know. So we can talk about those things here if you do that.
I will probably
Yeah.
have some test clone environments updated to Sunflower in 2 weeks because that's something I need to do quite
Oh.
soon. Just at least
Ah, it's
some
out of
test
support.
things.
Remsen is out of support, you
Exactly.
know.
Yeah. Exactly.
We just upgraded
Yeah, and we will, I mean, we are still on Quasnelia, we will upgrade to Remsons and then to Sunflower. And I've done Remsons, which is more work, and Sunflower should be relatively easy, but I
Yeah.
need to like formalize our workflow from like, okay, we have now Quasnelia, I will clone production environments so it's more the testing is as accurate as possible, then I will do the upgrade to Remsons, and then I will do straight after that the upgrade to Sunflower, and then I need to give that to the users back to like test it. And that's something I intend to do quite soon, hopefully in the next 2 weeks. Because
Sure.
otherwise, when will they test this stuff? So,
Oh.
until we actually like migrate the productive instances, this will take some more time because for that we need some like menu some customization adjustments. I think I've talked about this earlier. We have like some external developers who do some. It's called Pauschalmahnungen. It's something only Bavaria has by law. You need to have some functionality like this. We have like a custom folio module, which they, I think, will still need in Sunflower.
Yes, and
Maybe this law
interesting
will
to
get changed
translate.
at some point. Yeah, but so this is actually
I
not
don't know how to
interesting for the
translate it.
wider folio community, but we need that.
What is it called again?
Pauschalmahnungen, which is
I have no
basically
idea
reminders.
what.
So we have like by law specifics
Yeah,
on how
but it's
to
like a
like,
warning.
so we have like it's formalized on how much this needs to cost and stuff like this. There are like laws for that. There's like that's what the Pauschal is like something. What's the translation? I'm not sure. Like that, it's the same for everyone in Bavaria, and there's like
Blanket,
rules.
all inclusive, sweeping, flat rate. I don't know
Yeah,
how to
so
translate
sweeping
this.
reminder would be the like translation. It's like some if they
Sweeping
don't
isn't
return
richtig.
their books for 4 weeks, then there's like first a warning and then there's like a specific fee that they need to pay. And interestingly enough, I think there was so much time and money spent by like people in Bavaria deciding this, and like now the developers have to be paid. I'm pretty sure this actually costs the taxpayers money, this whole system. So it would be very good if the law just didn't exist, but whatever. It's not in our hands.
Overall, I would translate this as overall reminder,
Yeah.
global reminder.
Yeah, something like this. But it's like really
It
specific
means
for Bavaria.
flat
Yeah.
rate.
Yeah,
Yeah,
flat
flat
rate
rate. Yeah,
reminder. Yeah,
that's yeah,
flat
that's
rate.
pro
Yeah.
it yeah,
Flat
and there's
rate
like
reminder for what? How much? What costs?
Yeah, so if you like don't bring your book back for like 4 weeks, then there's like a warning, and after if you don't return it, then like in a week or whatever, I think they can actually set that up. I think that's not completely formalized. I think different institutions have like different like time
So
where they give them in addition to that, and then they get automatic emails and need to pay that
they don't,
some kind of money.
the cost does not accrue. It just is a flat rate.
I think it Does a crew? I'm not so luckily. I don't need to know about the specifics. I need ju just need to know how to install
Okay.
that. Yeah. But but it's like in Bavaria, which is specific. So not even other German states have that. It's like in the law. There's like a specific rule how to do that. And
Interesting.
I think they, so for the past year, so most of the institutions we have now productive have run it for a year now, or less than that. They do that by hand, basically, currently, because not all of them have the new like application, because it took quite a long time to set that up correctly. Like I said, it's basically a waste of time and money to even implement this, but yeah.
In Bavaria, the fees for libraries are standardized. They
Yeah.
begin with 7 euro 50 for the first reminder, 10 euro for the second reminder, and 20 euro for the third reminder,
Yeah.
with
And that's.
increasing costs for later reminders.
Yeah. So this is standardized. This has to, had to be developed. There was quite a lot of discussion on how to actually make this usable. That there's like an integrated Stripes front end module, and the back end module does the correct things with the correct timings and stuff. It's relatively boring, but it took quite
So,
some time to get this working. We met,
so
I think,
the
yeah.
is it that the amount is the amount of the what is due is written into law, and so you
Yeah.
can't,
Yes.
like,
Yes.
Folio
Yes.
wasn't creating the 7 euro 50
Yeah.
and
It
10
didn't
euro.
like it.
You
It.
have
It. It.
to. I see. Okay.
You.
Because
I think
Folio,
that.
like, has cost and bill
Yes.
reminders, but
And I
it's the
think that's
amount
just too
that
much
matters.
manual work. This needs to be automated in some way and formalized in the application, so
Okay.
nobody makes mistakes, basically. I think that's the idea here. Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah, money.
Yeah,
And
I was and
Hmm?
does it change? Like, I guess you have to have a new law if the
Change.
rate changes.
I don't think it
Oh, no,
changes,
the
but
rate will
yeah,
never
so.
change. I mean,
I mean, it should probably change, but
no, it
that's
will still
something.
be 5 euros in 50 years.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. So on the
Beer will
Folio
go
side,
up
at
to
least.
10 euro, but your books, it's only 5 euro.
Yeah, on the Folio side, it's basically just an email template, because I think the users just get emails current, maybe, or it generates a document, whatever, so a PDF that can get emailed or mailed via post.
Post, yeah.
And so in that on the Folio side, it's just a number change, which is easy. Then all of the actual bookkeeping and stuff like this is then done by each institution differently. But
I will also do an upgrade. I was just offline, as you noticed. The internet had gone. It goes away. I don't know, from time to time, two or three times a
Yeah,
day.
German
But
internet.
now I have subtracted to fiber optic Anschluss
Connection.
connection.
Yeah.
And they tell me the next thing is, this is a word that you have probably also never heard of, Florian, Hausstich.
Hausstich.
At first they need to do, the cable is already there in the street, and they need to connect it to the house.
Yeah. Yeah.
They need to open the street and
Yeah.
drill a hole through my wall in my cellar. I have hesitated to do this, but since I'm facing some years of mainly home office,
Yeah.
I decided not to do this. So,
Yeah.
yeah, this will be my upgrade
Yeah.
this year.
I
I
think
don't
my
like this
fa
to have a construction site here in front of my
okay.
house, but I think it's inevitable.
Yeah. I think my father signed that for his house like 5 years ago, and it's still not done.
Oh, wow.
That's like, I think the subcontractor went bankrupt, and
Oh,
That's really interesting. It doesn't really matter
Don't think
because
this will happen here.
my father has really fast like copper DSL connection, like 250 megabytes. So it's not like urgent in any way. It's the most stable internet I have ever had in Germany. But it's still weird that you signed the contract and that it doesn't get connected for years.
Yeah, they have done this here for the whole street. I think like 3 or 4 years ago, the whole street was opened and they made laid fiber optic in the ground. But I didn't connect it to my house because it was by German Telekom and I'd want to go to German Telekom. I had Net Cologne. So, and they have the rule that I have to wait 2 years and then Net Cologne can hire the cable. And this is what I'm doing now. But then of course, they have to come again and connect it to the house.
There's like an period where it's exclusive for the company actually
It's like
doing
for the
the like
company who builds
infrastructure.
who owns the line. Yeah. Exactly. It's the old monopolist for Shelley. It was called Deutsche Telekom, right? Nee, heißt es immer noch. It was a state-owned. It was state. When I was a child or young, it was state-owned, and now it's private. They open the competition. There are a lot of competitors, and one you can choose, but still one company owns the cable. You know, and this is still the biggest.
Yeah,
and it will be more
networking
expensive, of course.
infrastructure. Yeah, that's it.
Now,
Everything.
how much do you pay a month for internet?
Yeah, this will what I'm. It's 49 euros, I think, per month
Oh
it
my
will be.
God.
Yeah, but this is with telephone, which I'm not using anymore.
Because
So
how much do
what
you
is
pay?
it with fiber? It'll be 49 euro a month for fiber, and that's what's the download? 1 gigabyte or more?
I
Is it?
cannot
I
fetch
mean,
that if you want. If you wait a second,
it
wait.
doesn't matter. It's probably 1 gigabyte.
But
But
how
we pay like
expensive is
a
it?
hundred, $120 a month, and it's
Ah, what?
cable. Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it's
At least.
expensive. Europe always has like cheap internet, is my
Yeah.
understanding.
So I think currently we for like my flat, I pay too much actually, which is I think 40, but it's like a relatively slow 100 megabit connection. But yeah, so $120 is
Do you have
insane.
unlimited data?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to show this into the camera, but
Okay.
it's 600. Download 600 megabit per seconds.
Ah,
Upload
okay.
300 megabit per seconds.
Yeah, that's also I think with fiber you get way faster upload. So I'm not sure how this works in America, but at least Germany usually have way less upload than
Yeah,
download. Only
it's the
10%,
same.
20% usually.
Yeah.
It's the
What
same.
do you
Okay,
have,
yeah.
Shelley? What rates do you know at your home? Do you know?
I don't know actually. I'd have to ask my
No.
husband.
Fast
Oh,
enough.
okay. Yeah, it's fast enough. I think we do pay for 1 gigabyte
at
download.
least you get fast internet then.
Yeah, and then unlimited data we pay
Yeah, I
extra
don't know
for
about the
that.
data rate. It's a good question.
It's funny, like when Disney Plus came out, you know, the streaming service, and then like our data usage just went up. We were all watching like Star Wars on 4K.
I think the actual like cable, so if you our phone contracts usually have data limits. I think there are very few which don't have any, so that's I think that's probably the same as in America. Not sure. I think it's better in lots of countries than in Germany, so those are relatively expensive for the data you get, but at least the cable connections I don't think are ever lim or maybe you if you get some very cheap contract, it's like the data is actually limited. Usually you get unlimited data at the rate you buy.
At the moment, I think I have 15 megabits per second. Download 10 megabits per second. upload.
50.
And then it's 600. Yeah, from 50 to 600. That's the leap.
That's actually something you
Yeah.
will even see on websites, that websites will load way faster.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I have to do this.
Yeah.
It's not even the speed, but it's not stable anymore. I don't know
Yeah.
why. Maybe it's even the router. The router costs 200 euros. It's the most
Yeah.
expensive thing to invest, but yeah, this one is
Yeah.
from 2017. So every 9 or 10 years, you can buy a new router.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, good. I don't
I guess
have.
we'll meet in 2 weeks.
Yeah, let's meet in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
Okay.
that looks good.
Yeah.
All right.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
Bye.
See
See
you.
you.
Bye.